Grace and peace to the household of faith. Thank God for his goodness, his grace, his kindness, his love, and his mercy. And I don't know about y'all, I am full of the word. And I say full, the Holy Spirit is the one that does everything. But when you get to a point where you can't hardly sleep, you're ready to preach. Amen. I said, Lord, thank God for a night, but bring on the day. Amen. You know, Pastor said something really interesting earlier. And just then, in terms of, see, a lot of God's people are intimidated. When you say intimidated, you know, during the course of the week, they glance on what channel, I don't know what channel these things, guys, come on, but they glance on, they see one preacher in Dallas, Texas, somewhere, got 40,000 people out there. And then they look over here and see another, what, 20,000 in ministry. And then they look, even locally, they look over here at this church, 3,000, all this other stuff. Then, when you come into a place like this, they look around and see, what, 30 people. And see, the non-spiritual mind say, well, what's wrong? There ain't nothing wrong. Because, you know, it's one thing we need to understand, we get right into the scripture. History will clear up a lot of things. And I'm thinking of the account where Jesus, one account, preached the gospel of the kingdom of God, and he preached so hard that he told the guy, you know, he told the audience, unless you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you have no place in you. In other words, they took off. They took off. And then he looked around, there's nobody but the disciples.
Yes, right.
And the key is that the masses went to other messengers, and at the time, they basically the law of Moses. They took off. Well, in Jesus, by and large, they were small in number in terms of numbers, but did that take away from the truth?
No.
He said, he is the truth. He said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. So if you're going to make number your mode of thinking, you're going to be highly disappointed because God has always dwelt in small numbers. And thank God, you should ask yourself, do you want truth or do you want numbers? And I thank God. I think God, I know what your answer is there. We want the truth. Amen? Let's go right to our scriptures. Amen. We're going to go into Ephesians chapter. We're going right back, amen, to where we left off. We're going right back to Ephesians chapter 1. Now, there are two scriptures. Now, bear with me because I don't think I'm going to get to the second part, but we'll just use these as our base scriptures. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. And then in the same, well, we can go over to the next chapter, to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. I repeat, the two base scriptures in today's message, and thank God we don't finish today, we can always come back. Thank God, we're not rushed for time. I repeat, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, and Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. So what we'll do now, with time, let's go right into the King James, and then, because I know basically everyone have a King James, and trust the Lord that real soon everyone will also have the Greek. But either way, we'll look at these two. So our reader, I believe it's going to be Elder Nicholson. Let's go right into Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. Elder, we have time. Let's read this in the King James, and then we'll go right into and read this in the Greek. Amen?
Okay. Ephesians chapter 1, King James Version. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus.
Faithful in Christ.
Grace be to you and peace from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay. Verse 3.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
Verse 4.
According as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
Now, Elder, go right over to Ephesians 2. Go over the net in verse 1 through 5.
King James Version?
Yeah, which is with King James, yes.
Okay, Ephesians chapter 2. King James Version, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved.
Now, Elder, I want you to go right, because I have a feeling I'm not going to get to chapter 2 today, but let's go right back. Let's in the interlinear Greek, let's go Ephesians 1 through 4. We're going to go into let's read this part in the interlinear Greek. Amen. I repeat, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 through 4.
From the interlinear text?
Yes.
Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, through the will of God to the saints being in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you. And peace from God, Father of us, and Lord Jesus Christ. Bless the God.
See, your King James said, blessed be the God. You know, God doesn't need our help. If B is not there, leave it off. It's blessed the God. Amen? Blessed the God. God is the blessed. He's the one that has blessed us. Now, how has God blessed us? Okay? What has God done to bestow upon us as his elect? What has God done for us? Okay, come on, Elder. Blessed the God.
Blessed the God and Father of Lord of us, Jesus Christ, the one having blessed us with every blessing spiritual.
With every blessing. Notice that word blessing is not singular. I'm sorry, it's not plural. It's blessing. What is the blessing? If you understand the blessing, blessings plural is just a result of the blessing singular. Amen. And the blessing is, I'm sorry, I'm going to go ahead of myself. Let's keep going. Come on, Yana.
Blessing spiritual in the heavenlies in Christ.
In other words, the blessing in Christ. That is the blessing, saints. Right. You are in Christ.
Amen.
And if you're in Christ, you have everything. That everything that is the head, everything that he has, we have, because he's the head. Thank God we are the body.
Amen.
And as a result of the body, hallelujah, we are only, thank God, a recipient of the blessings that God has given us, because see, that word has blessed us. That's a verbal adjective. It's an aorist participle. Now, when you look at it, it's a past complete action, a verbal adjective. A participle is a verbal adjective. This is a past completed work of God, the fact that he has blessed us in Christ.
Yeah.
Now, understand, you need to understand here. At this time, God didn't have, time is nowhere around. Because, understand, when you go over to Ephesians chapter 2, when it talks about dead and trespassing sins, but anytime you talk about death and depravity, you're in the time capsule.
Yeah.
God, the workers here, you were a result of the workers of God before he created time.
Yeah.
He said, he has blessed you. He has chosen you. Somebody said, what do you mean before he created time? I was born 40 years ago. Well, that was the manifestation of the testimony of what God did for you. But in God's actual workings, as long as Christ has been here, he's the head, you've been a member of his glorious body.
Amen.
Before he created the heavens and earth, you have always been in Christ.
Amen.
In Christ covers everything. Come on, Elder. Let's keep moving on. Amen. Let's move on.
As he chose us in him before foundation of the world to be, that we should be holy and unblemished.
As he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy, unblameable, before him in love. All of this is a result of the love that God had for us in eternity. Right. Now, in this hath chosen, that's the aorist tense, middle voice. The subject is acting upon himself. Spiritual blessing in Christ. In other words, in Christ, there are many blessings that God has already given us. Even the problem is that through religion, we put these blessings in time. And we're saying, well, in time God did this. In time, no. God has already done it before the foundation of the world. Before he created time, you have always been blessed. Amen. Now, the spiritual blessings in Christ radiate. There are so many. But in this first part of Ephesians, you will find that God chose us a spiritual blessings. He made us holy. He predestinated us. He adopted you. He accepted you. He redeemed you. He forgave you. He abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. He gave us an inheritance. He sealed us. See, you are not waiting to be sealed. God has already sealed you. And what God has sealed by the Holy Spirit, nobody can take away. In other words, he forgave you. There are a lot of Christians running around here trying to be forgiven. God has already forgiven you. He has already predestinated you. You are the recipient in the time capsule on the result of what God has already done for you. All of this occurred before time. God placed you in other words, he placed you in as a member in his glorious body before time was ever created. Amen. Moving one step further. All the spiritual blessings occurred before time. God put you in a time capsule. We should always focus. In other words, as a member in what God has done for us, past complete action, we should always focus on our eternal position in Christ rather on the daily occurrences in the time capsule. See, understand. When you, somebody say, what's the time capsule? Well, first of all, somebody say, what's the time capsule? Have mercy. You need to understand. See, you know, there's a song, some time ago, they made a song called, it's a lot of moving and shaking going on. When you're in the time capsule, it's a whole lot of stuff going on.
Man.
Crazy stuff. And if you focus on all this stuff down here, you feel one day you can wake up and say, Lord, it's killing me. You, through the grace of God, have to elevate your thinking above all this stuff down here. Because we are in Christ. And understand that being in Christ, nothing can be of higher priority than you as a member in the body of Christ. Now, the key is this. You won't find this information in other parts of the Bible.
Right.
Stay in your gospel.
I hear you.
Stay in your gospel. That volume of truth, those books, Romans through Hebrews, those 14 epistles of Paul, that is the direction. That is the directives. That's the focus. That should be the laser beam of our thinking. Today is what? Those 14 epistles of Paul. Because it will give you peace and comfort and understanding in everything in your life. But if you abide outside of those epistles for doctrine, if you go outside of those epistles, I guarantee you're going to be totally confused. Because you're going to look at something Jesus said, what? At a future time, and you're going to try to make that apply today, and you'll be totally confused. So the directions for that, we're not saying don't read the Bible or nothing like that. No, the whole Bible is God's Word. But you do not go to those other parts of the Bible for direction. You go there for information, but you don't go there for direction. And for years, I went to those other parts of the Bible for direction. And I was totally confused. Totally confused. Going there for a direction. Jesus, in one account in Matthew, said, if they ask for your, whenever they ask you for, give it to them. They ask you for your cloak. If they ask you for your coat, give me cloak too. In other words, you read that, you say, wait a minute. If they ask, give it to them. Now, understand. See, in fact, I'm going to give you a test. Everything that Jesus said in the Beatitudes, Matthew, Jesus' writings, everything that he said, think of a time when the devil is going to be locked away for 1,000 years. There will be, Jesus is going to rule from Jerusalem, and everything is going to be enforced in righteousness. Now, when you read at that time, it'll make sense. But not now. Because now, if you take what Jesus said, if they ask you for your coat, give me a cloak too, in this present evil age, where people are depraved and selfish, if you give everybody everything, they will wipe you out. It's 20 degrees below zero, and somebody said, give me your coat. And you give them your coat, and you going out there freezing. No! It will not work today. You go there, 11:23, he said to this mountain, be there removed, and be there cast into the sea. And you have whatsoever you say. That ain't going to work today. Because in this present evil age,
I hear you.
When people have what? Depraved hearts. You just can't have what you have. God has not said, okay, I can have Bloomfield. I want that house in Bloomfield. And somebody said, I said, and it came to pass 2 years later. No, it didn't come to pass because you said it came to pass because that was decreed.
Right. Yeah.
But you can have what you, because our hearts are what? Despitefully wicked. But in that day, when everybody would know the man of Christ, they would have pure motives. And by the way, later on we can talk, even in that time there'll be some depravity. But that's later on. But the point is that when you know the will of God, you will have what you say because you know what you're going to have what God already said.
Amen.
So, you need to understand what you're reading.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
Now, the problem with people, they say, what is the time capsule? Understand that time was created by God.
Right.
Time was created as a testimony in time. Time was created to reflect what God has already decreed in his actualization. Time is only manifestation. And by the way, God didn't need to see testimony was for our benefit. God does not need to manifest anything for his benefit. God knows all things. He's perfect. He's righteous. He's holy. So God put everything in the time capsule as a testimony for his will and purpose.
Man.
So when you say the time capsule, you need to understand, because everything in time, and by the way, the Bible tells one day there will be no more time.
I hear you.
One day, time is going to what?
Be no more.
Be no more.
Yeah.
And when that day occurs, there will be no more sin. Everything will be perfect. As long as there's time, and you know we're in time now. Time is synonymous with depravity.
I hear you.
Okay? Now, when you're looking at time, just bear with me for a few seconds here, because you need to understand the focus of time before you can understand the other things in terms of God's workings. Understand, time is in Christ. Everything is in Christ. Every created entity is in Christ. Which means that if God created time, that means time is in Christ. Now, before we read further, let's go to Colossians chapter 1 real quick. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. We're going to go right into the interlinear. For those of you that do not have a Greek text, just bear with it. The elder's going to read this in the interlinear, Colossians 1, 16. And by the way, just as a side thought, the Greek New Testament, we prioritize the Greek New Testament in this ministry because, number one, for those of you that know anything, but in terms of history, you know, the Bible was not written in what, English? In Jesus' day, there was no such thing as the English language. It was the Greek language. Which means that if you want to have a great accuracy of scripture, you go with the language that was what? Conveyed at that time. And it was Greek. Okay? Now, let's go to the Greek, Elder.
116,
yes.
Colossians 1:16 from the Greek interlineal text.
Yes.
For by him were all things created.
Now that's it. Let's go right into King in the Greek.
Okay.
Yes, please.
Okay, Greek. Because
in him
were created all things in heavens and on earth,
uh-huh.
The visible and invisible, whether thrones or lordships,
yes,
or rulers,
uh-huh.
Or authorities,
yes.
All things through him and for him have been created.
Notice, it said all things were created in him. That includes time. Everything. Now, can you imagine everything being, the original translator, they said everything was created by him. But see, when you use by him, you're taking the focus, the impact of what the Spirit of God is saying. Everything is what? In him. Now think of this. We say the earth is big. The earth is big, yes, but the earth is small compared to what? Everything else out there. And in science, we learned years ago, when y'all in science, we learned that Jupiter was the largest planet. Yes, it's large in comparison to the other planets, but Jupiter is so small compared to everything else out there. The solar system, we learned, big you can imagine. I don't care how vast you can imagine. And by the way, there are systems and galaxies beyond the galaxy.
Amen.
Everything out there is in God.
In God.
Amen. Everything is in Christ.
Right.
He encompasses all in all.
Amen.
So that means that everything out there is in his total control. And the fact that he created time, that means that everything that occurs in time is in his total control.
Amen.
Either God has total control or he has no control.
I hear you.
See, God is God of absolutes. See, we put degrees on issues. We say God is, well, in this case, God is 99% righteousness. No such thing as degrees. God is all righteous. He's all holy. He's everything. There are no degrees in the workings of God. So, in the time capsule, because time is what? Is a creative entity. And understand that everything in time is temporary. We need to elevate our thinking beyond time. That's the only way we can have peace and comfort. For example, in time, what about time? The capsule of time. It is God's design mechanism strictly for the manifestation of testimony encompassing of all of his eternal workings of creation which were actualized in his divine decree. There's no such thing as something beginning in time. Everything began with the mind of God. You were created in time because you were what? God actualized this in eternity. The job you have in time is a result of the actual decree, what? That God decreed in eternity.
Right,
everything that goes down in time, right. Everything that you have experienced in time, the good, the bad, the indifferent, right. Everything is a result of what God has already proclaimed.
Amen.
You are only reflecting what God has already decreed.
Already.
So when that thing, that tragedy that confronts you, whether it's present, future, whatever, understand that it may call you of God, but no, God already knew what was going to happen.
Right.
Now, what about time? God's plan, will, and purpose. None of the perceived proceedings should ever be construed as original enactments. To such were all actualized in God's decree. Hence, these are all merely manifestations for the sole purpose of documenting the revelation of creation. That bad day, the bad day that you had maybe last month, last year, you said this is a bad day. Well, you experienced that in time. But God already knew you only acted out what God already had decreed.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
See, that's why there's no such thing as, oh, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to convince this. See, if you mess salvation up, you can mess everything else up.
Amen.
But if you understand salvation, see, for years I believe I felt that if I said the right words,
right.
if I moved the right scripture, if I said the right thing, that John would come and get saved.
Right.
Well, if John is not the elect, you can pray fast and do everything. He ain't gonna listen.
That's right.
And some people working in the flesh, trying to convince people to get saved. Well, listen, if God has not given them that enlightenment, then what? Forget it. And on the other hand, God doesn't need our help. See, we have been, you know, I heard a preacher some years ago. This arrogant self said on TV that God called him to go to the other parts of the world, I guess, to preach the gospel. And thank God for preaching the gospel. But God does not need somebody preaching the gospel to save anybody.
Yeah.
Now somebody said, look, I ain't never heard of that. How can that be? Well, there's a lot of things you have never heard that doesn't take away from it.
Yeah.
A lot of things you haven't heard. In fact, you can list so many nations up here, and some of the nations, I guarantee you, y'all ain't heard of them. Just because you haven't heard, that does not make it not true.
Man.
So a lot of things you haven't heard about the workings of God, that doesn't make it untrue.
Man.
So what this preacher saying is, look, if I don't go, they can all go to hell. And see that, now you know, see that pride? So he's saying, so God is going to depend upon some depraved creature to manifest his workings. No. Thank God for preaching the gospel. But if you were saved before the foundation of the world, that means that before religion told you, you had to shake somebody's hand, or you had to join some so-and-so church, God already had it, what? Had you picked, in spite of your mistakes. And you know what the glorious thing about God? He chose you. He knew in advance all the mistakes you would make. See, the work, the God's choice is what? Unconditional. It was done in eternity. God saved all of us. Thank God for that song. Sinner saved by grace. Knowing all the mistakes, all the mess ups, knowing that everything we would do wrong, he still chose you in spite of yourself. Because God does not identify with our mistakes. He identifies with who we are in Christ. And if God judged us by our shortcomings, by our failures, who could get in?
Right. That's right.
Nobody could survive.
Amen.
Let's go back to the time capsule. What is not perceived by the overwhelming majority of those abiding in the capsule of time is that all the things that are unfolding are only reflectors or manifestations of all that were actualized in God's decree in eternity.
Right.
Understand. That everything that from the day you were born, everything that occurred in your life, it wasn't an accident. It wasn't some intelligent decision you made. But somebody said, wait a minute, preacher, what's wrong with you? I had this thought and I did this and this and this came out just like I planned. No, it didn't. You said it came out the way you planned. Well, who gave you that thought? The Bible tells it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Look at all the people that make perfect plans and everything, the bottom drops out. And those that just don't do nothing and everything works out. Why? It's not about you in a way. It's all about God, what God did. It's everything that happens in the time capsule is including even your salvation is a manifestation, but your salvation did not begin in time.
No.
If you understand that, you see, the gospel of the grace of God takes the focus off man and the focus is on Christ.
Amen.
Any preaching or teaching that focuses on man, you better run away from it. Because in true grace preaching, Jesus is the focus. What he's done for us in eternity. And to know it's liberating. Because I'm telling you, you're talking about bondage. You're trying to work. See, the problem with a lot of Christians, they're doing all this works of the flesh to work. They call themselves, I work. And by the way, we work in terms of either speaking in tongues. See, I came out of an organization where If you didn't have a tongue, you were hell bound. If you didn't have a tongue, on top of that, water baptized. If you didn't do that, you were hell bound. You see, they have salvation in time. And not only water baptized, but you had to say it a certain way. You had to be, quote, baptized in Jesus' name. And you go, a group over here said you get baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And everybody got salvation in time. See, when you get, so you put salvation in time, you give the control to men. When you put salvation in eternity, the control always goes to God. Because God is in control. Amen. Now, looking at this one step further, if you're looking at the, we just mentioned in the time capsule, there is so many things that going on. Death, tragedies, everything that we experience in time. But the key is this. God is going to use time. He's going to create, he created time as a testimony to magnify his will and purpose. And by the way, every child of God has an appointment outside the time capsule.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes.
When you understand that time is temporary, then you can understand the purpose of God. Mm-hmm. That God has a plan. You see, when someone passes away, I was at a funeral some time ago, and this brother passed away. And everyone was remorseful and sad. You know, that's all part of it, right? Broken fellowship. But to look at this from the eternal view, that date was that brother's appointment outside the time capsule.
Sure was.
We all have an appointment, say, outside the time capsule. And that appointment is already determined.
Already.
You can't do anything about it? God got the appointment already set. And it must, because it's actual decree, it must manifest.
Mm-hmm.
One step further. In God's appointment. See, God does not look at things the way we see. God sees things from the eternal viewpoint. We see things, what, as they occur, what, in time.
Yeah.
And in the eternal viewpoint, God sees it already, what? Done. Mm-hmm. It's already done. For example,
yeah.
Let's say all the Christians, they're all from, and all time passed. Different, they what passed away, but that was their appointment outside the time capsule. Every day, what people passing away, that was their appointment. And outside the time capsule, they are in the what? They're in Christ, totally manifested. Right now, all those that God has already decreed to make the rapture. Now we don't know when the rapture is going to come, but we know it's coming. Well, that was what their appointment outside the time capsule. Amen. It must come to pass because God has already decreed that it will come to pass.
Man.
You see, what happens when, see, the problem is this. We have things like sickness, financial setbacks, tragedies, everything. And by the way, for those of you, I think we can all witness how many of you in your lifetime have had more than one problem. We've had, hey, we all have. Somebody say, that is a product of depraved creation. And this preaching and teaching that say one day you're going to be problem free. Yeah, once you be problem free, you get out of here. When you get out of here, I guarantee you, you are problem free. Problem free. No more problems. But Lord, you go to some of these bookstores and you see the how to live problem free. Well, I guess they're saying how to, you can die. You're ready to die, right? They must be saying that. But what they're saying, you read the first few pages, it'll tell you if you pull some kind of formula, if you do this, you can be problem free. I guarantee you, if that one problem go away, you will have 10 others facing you the next day.
I hear you.
There's no such thing as problem free.
Man.
But thank God, in our gospel still tells us that as we go through what? This life, God still controls every situation, every problem. There's nothing too large for God. So you need to take your eyes off your problem and look to Christ.
When you have a tragedy, look to justification.
Yes.
When you have a whatever problem you're going through, look to adoption, propitiation.
Yes.
Look to the fact that I'm redeemed.
Yes.
You need to elevate your thinking
right.
above that problem.
Right.
That's the only way you can have peace in that situation to know that God has a purpose. By the way, understand, the problem that you have, God had a purpose in it. He had a purpose in it. It's His will and purpose because it. Our gospel tells that it, God worketh all things to good to them that love Him, to them who are the called according to the purpose. So we look at problems because of our thinking. We look at problems as so bad. The thinking should be, Lord, what's the purpose in this? What are you trying to teach me? God, things just don't happen to happen. God has a purpose in everything.
Amen.
In everything, there's a purpose. Things just don't what happen. There's no such thing as independent operators out there, just moving out there with no... God is behind the scene. God is shaking. God is moving us. Understand, every day that we live, God is moving us forward. He's moving us closer to being redeemed from this time capsule. And I don't care where you, in fact, since you came to church, you're one step closer because this body is going to fade away and die one day. By the way, the only thing that's keeping us inside is time is what? These fleshly bodies. When these bodies are destroyed, and by the way, when God destroys these bodies, then we have our eternal body. And by the way, the body of Christ will be totally manifested in His glory. All the glory that God Christ has, we'll have. He's the head, we're the body. Amen. Because we will be like Him, for we'll see Him as He is. Only through elevating this thinking, we have to think beyond the time capsule. Amen. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 real quick. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 real quick. Verse 3 and 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 5. Have mercy. Now, for time's sake, let's go right into the Greek. We can go right into the Greek on this.
1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, Greek, interlineal.
Yes.
In flesh... For walking, not according to flesh, we war. For the weapons of the warfare of us are not fleshly, but powerful to God to overthrow of strongholds, reasons, overthrowing.
The weapons of our warfare, for those that have the King James, it says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but natural. They're not natural, but mighty through God to the putting down of strongholds. Keep reading, Elder.
Okay, verse 5.
Yes.
And every high thing rising up against the knowledge of God and taking captive every design to the obedience of Christ.
Bring into captivity everything, every high thought, every imagination that is in this natural. We do not fight natural with natural. We have to what? Everything that's in the time capsule, we have to elevate it to the Word of God.
Amen.
Our position in Christ.
Amen.
I mean, look at, for example, everything that you that experience in the time capsule, we have to think beyond. And bring every thought to the obedience of the Word of God.
Man.
Come on, right, Ellen. That's right.
And the tragedy that's perceived in time could be your future glorification. When God tells us, the Word tells us, let's say the bad news. We know we hear all the time that so-and-so's got so long to live. Or somebody, tragedy happens. Do you know that whatever that person passed away, see, we look at it as because of our thinking, the Bible says we do not war against what? The natural. Our weapons are not natural, not carnal. The spiritual mind. Say, what? The person passed away. They had a testimony of being in Christ. They are instantly glorified.
Amen.
We all, and by the way, when Paul talks about instant glorification, He put that in the same context as what? Justification. All of those. You are already glorified. You have your already spiritual body in Christ. But somebody say, I know, preacher, what? How can that be? But God's decree is already done. It just hasn't manifested yet. See, everything that, look, let me tell you, everything that happened to you yesterday or what, 2 days ago or a year ago, you just learned about it. You just realized it then. And the problem that people have, that they think that the moment they realize it, that's the initiation of the event. No, the moment that happened, that's only the manifestation of that event. Everything that plays out, God. So when somebody says, when the doctor says this person died, they got so long to live, what happened? The glorification is right around the corner. The manifestation of that glorification is right around the corner. Now, understand, all the workers of God was actualized by God's eternal decree. And it was manifested in time. Understand this, you can understand the other parts of the Bible, but if you don't understand Paul's writings and everything is decreed by what God's already done, there's a lot of things you're not going to understand. Now, we mentioned the base scripture. All of God's eternal work is done in eternity. Now, let's go to Ephesians, the other base scripture, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Ellen, let's go there now, please. Ephesians chapter 2. Where it says, I believe it starts off. Let's look at verse 1 first. Ephesians 2, 1, Elder. Yes.
Okay. Ephesians chapter 2 from the Greek.
Yes, from the Greek. Yes.
From the Greek. And you being dead in the trespasses and in the sins of you.
And you being dead in the trespass and the sins of you. Now, notice this, it says here. And you being dead. Notice, in the first part of, in the first chapter, Paul talks about what? We've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. He talks about justification. He talks about we are chosen in Christ. He mentions all of the wonderful spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. And in verse 2, he says, and you, read that again, Elder.
And you being dead in the trespasses and in the sins of you.
First of all, that word, see, they did, the translators, they really messed this up. First of all, you need to understand, the Bible is not originally written in numbers, in verses. It says, and you. Well, you know, Sister Cutler's an English teacher. Now, you don't have to be an English scholar to realize that you do not start no sentence with no and. You don't do that.
Amen.
I mean, some of y'all, in your fifth grade grammar, you learned that. You don't start no sentence with no and.
Amen.
This word and is what you call a subordinating conjunction.
Amen.
Which means that you need to, it subordinates or it connects to the thought before. Now notice, here's what we can do now. It says, and you, see here's the problem people have.
Amen.
They look at God all out there, in other words, before creation, God was doing it. He was creating. He had everything under control. And then for some reason, when man messed up, they feel that God lost control.
I hear you.
God was in as much control in Ephesians chapter 1 as he was in Ephesians chapter 2.
Amen.
He was in much control as when you were before the foundation of the world. He was out there doing what? He created all the universe, and he was out there all by himself. Before he created mankind, God was out there. A lot of people say, oh yeah, God was in control. And then all of a sudden, when man messed up, they feel that man was in control. No, no, no. God was still controlling all of the events of his creation. Yeah. Now, if you're looking at, to go back up, see where it said in a coordinating conjunction, you have what's being coordinated here. Go back up to Ephesians 1, and read verse 22 and 23.
And all things.
All things.
Subjected under the feet of him.
Under the feet of him.
And him gave a head over all things of the church.
He gave all things to the church. Is that interlinear?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now read verse 23.
Which is the body of him, the fullness of the all things, which with all things filling.
Notice, church, it says in verse 22, it says, all things under his feet. He gave all things what to the church. In other words, Jesus, the head with the body. We're still in eternity. Because now you're talking about the body of Christ, you're talking about eternity. The body of Christ was always been here. Now, verse 22 and 23, which is his body, the fullness of him to fill all in all. You are still in eternity. Amen. But then in chapter 2, when it says, and you being dead, you know when it says dead, you as a new man in Christ was never dead.
Amen.
So when you know when he says be dead, you know now you're in time.
Amen.
And now we're looking at the issue. People say, well, God's in time. They look, you know the story. God said, Adam, hey, be obedient, don't partake of the fruit. And they say, Adam, what? They disobeyed God, which is true. And then they feel that somehow God was just out there and Adam messed up. And then our thing is that now God is on the scene, clean up what Adam messed up. No, no, no. God was still in control because God knew that what? He was going to sin. And we mentioned earlier, in the last time, that Adam, what? He was created. He was depraved. He said, well, how about Adam's perfect? Can you tell me this? How can a perfect person sin? He was sin. He sinned because he was what? He was depraved. Now, here's what we need to understand. In all the workings of God, God controls everything in the time capsule to manifest his will and purpose. He has not lost control of nothing. In fact, God purposed for sin to be in the world to magnify grace.
Right.
Think about it. What's grace? Grace is God's unmerited favor. In fact, if it wasn't for sin, we could not sing the song, we are sinners saved by God's grace. The fact that what? We are sinners saved by God's grace. God, through his will and purpose, allows sin to come into what the time capsule to magnify his purpose, his will, his workings to magnify grace. And everything else that's connected to grace is all still a result of the purpose and plan of God. But see, what we do is that we look at over time, and for some reason, when we see the time capsule, things that happen, sometimes people view God as being not in control. Well, you know what? I'm glad that God controls everything. Because if you're looking at an insecure Christian, show me the Christian that feels that they are in control.
Amen.
And it starts with their salvation. Do you know a lot of Christians feel that they have something to do with their salvation? They feel that in grace you don't bring nothing to the table. If you understand that you bring nothing to the table, well, that means that, wait a minute, if I didn't do nothing to what? Earn this salvation, then I can't do anything to lose it. First of all, you can't lose it because God gave it to you.
Amen.
See, this whole, God is not an Indian giver. Uh-uh.
Amen.
What God gives, he gives.
Amen.
But see, we learned that if you mess up, you know y'all been there. You have your good day, and then you in your mind, you say, well, if the rapture came today, I would what? I'm going to make it. And then if you be honest with yourself, your good days, if you really analyze that day 24-7, you still messed up. Because God does not look at things the way we look at it. And then this proud thinking, say, well, then if you have a bad day, we all have bad days, then, oh, I'm glad the rapture didn't come because, man, if the rapture came, I would have missed it. You know what? If God based the catching away of the church on you, whether or not you would, you're good, none of us would get in.
I hear you. Amen.
And when God catches the church away, there'll be some out there living lukewarm, doing all kind of crazy stuff. They are still going to be, because they're going to be caught away, not because of what they're doing, but because of their position in Christ.
And that's, you know, like, we are not, see, when you preach this way, the carnal mind says, listen, this has nothing to do, this is not a license to do wrong, a license to sin, because the motive, the goal of grace is to identify with Christ. But we still live in a depraved body, and what happens when you mess up, just understand, you just identify with that depravity, God, that you have. That's all. But the goal of grace is always to identify with Christ. Now, in time, in spite of the weaknesses of man, God was still in control. Because we last time we looked at Adam. Now, if you understand, because see, religion put people, put man on a pedestal as if they're perfect, as if they're all right. But, you know, God shows the whole picture. Because God has nothing to work with but depravity. In spite of the things in time, God was still in control.
Man.
Understand that if you know, and by the way, for those that's been here some time, you know there are seven dispensations. A dispensation is nothing but an economy. It's God rules, God control. And the last time we discussed Adam, and that was in human government and also in innocence. But now let's go down to the other dispensations, because we need to understand that in Christ, we are eternally secure.
Man.
But even in time, when things seem to be out of control in your life, understand that God is still in control.
Man.
And if you know that God is in control of every situation, of every fiber, of everything, the child of God, you should be able to get a good sleep at night. You shouldn't have to take no Restoril, no Valiums. You should get a good sleep at night because your position is in Christ, and that is security.
Yeah.
Somebody say, well, you don't know. Just give me some money. Put some money in my account, and then I'll be secure. Well, we know. Let's give testimony.
Yeah.
There are hundreds and thousands of people in Bellevue here, California. They have money to burn, and some of them can't sleep.
I hear you.
So if money, having money was a barometer of peace, that means all those, all these people have all this money, they should sleep good every night. Well, you know that's not the case, because our position in Christ transcends above everything down here. But we need to see if we understand that God is working in every situation, it should give you total peace and security in your life. Now, let's look at Noah. Noah, let's look at the other dispensation of God's workings. Now, we all know the story. We're not going to read that because you don't know the story of Noah. The earth was corrupt, and God commanded Noah to build the ark. And so people look at that and say, look at Noah. Man, he was so obedient. He called his family in. Yes, he was obedient. And then people read, they'll say, oh, Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And they look at Noah, all these good things about Noah. Wonderful. Nothing wrong with that. But thank God, God shows us the whole picture. Because when you see the workings of God, when you see that God is still in control, in spite of our weaknesses, in spite of our failures, you can still look up, because you can say your redemption draws nigh. You can still say there's no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. You can still say our eternal position is set.
Man.
Church, understand that you won't get this information in the other parts of the Bible. It's not there. You'll find yourself, you're reading some stuff that happened over there in Deuteronomy. And it says if you do this, God will do this. And it's like, you know, those are different time periods, different dispensations. They had different covenants.
Man.
And we don't have time today to go into that. But every dispensation, God has a rule that governs that dispensation.
Right.
And God is not going to give you no light beyond that covenant.
Man.
Even in the earthly realm right now, we have an administration. We have the Bush administration. That's going to be gone out in a few more months. And somebody say, well, thank God. Well, first of all, let me say this. Let's go back.
I'm telling you, if you understand the spiritual workings of God, you understand things in time. There are still people that are mad, that are upset about the present administration because they're saying that those people in Florida mess it up. You know, 8, 7 years ago, whenever. No. Understand that the present president, he had nothing. It was all designed by God. It had to be because God decreed it. That's why, I got a letter in the mail the other day. Somebody asked me, was I going to work on this election? I said, well, first of all, I ain't got time. I said, not that I'm not interested, but I said, wait a minute. Why should I get involved in something that God's already determined is going to be president?
Yeah.
By the way, we're not saying amen. God leave there, go. But I ain't got time. I just don't have time. Hey. So if you want to get a campaign, whether it's a McCain or Bush, go ahead. God leaves all of us different. But I ain't got time because, first of all, somebody said, who's going to be the president? I don't know, but God knows.
Yeah.
And I'm not losing no sleep trying to figure out who's going to be. Whoever is going to be, understand, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, concerning your city, concerning your country, concerning your church. In everything give thanks.
Yeah.
And whoever it is, we should give thanks. Not thank God for what they may do or may not do, but give thanks that this is all God's part of his plan and his purpose. God is moving toward the completion of his plan and purpose.
Amen.
Now, bear with me about 8 more minutes. Now, somebody say, what about Noah? Yes, what about Noah? Well, go to Genesis. No, I don't go there. Go to Genesis chapter 9. Verse 18. See, the reason we can say this is because people, they look at these heroes of faith,
right. And
they put these people on a pedestal,
right. Not
knowing that God controls all things, and God let us see the whole picture, but in spite of everything, God is still in control. Let's go to Genesis chapter 9. We're going to read verse 18 through 23. I repeat, Genesis chapter 9, verse 18 through 23.
Chapter 9, verses 18 through 23.
Okay, yes.
And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark.
Now, let me say this. This is a time God, you know the story of God, 120 years. God, they built the ark. And Noah obeyed God. And Noah and his family were saved. Now, what we're going to read now is what occurred after the ark, after the incident when the family left the ark. Keep going, Elder.
Of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. And Noah began to be a husbandman and planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunken.
This great man that God used, right? Brought his family to the ark. The Bible says he drank of the wine and was drunken. Keep going, Elder.
And he was uncovered within his tent.
He was uncovered, uh-huh.
And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without.
Saw the nakedness of their father. In other words, hey, look, God used this man mightily. Why it was, first of all, see, The information I heard people say, well, you know what? If Noah hadn't obeyed, we would all be messed up. First of all, understand. Stay in your gospel. Because our gospel tells us that Noah had to obey because God caused him to obey because it was decreed. Everything that happened regarding the ark was decreed and planned by God. So it had to go down the way God purposed that. Amen. But it said, on one hand, the man built this mighty ark and did all these wonderful things. On the other hand, this man who did all of these things, on the other side, he got drunk as a fish.
I hear you.
Because it gives testimony that men are depraved, but yet at the same time, God works through that depravity to fulfill his will and purpose.
Amen.
That's right.
God looks beyond depravity.
Hey.
Because if he just look at depravity, nobody can stand.
Nobody.
Amen.
You were born in Christ, created in Christ.
Amen.
And God knew that he would put you in the time capsule that where depravity reigned. But God still was in control. Now let's squeeze one more. One more and then we'll close out. Let's go to Abraham. The reason I want to say that, because religion, oh, Abraham, the father of faith. Love Abraham. Thank God for Abraham. But let's see. Did Abraham make any mistakes? I think we should know the answer to that. Let's close on this. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. We'll close on this. Genesis chapter 12. By the way, we're in the dispensation of promise. See, in every dispensation, God had a federal head. We're in the dispensation of promise. Let's go to Genesis 12, 1 to 3, and we'll close out 10 to 13. Elder, let's go and we'll close out on this. Okay, Elder.
Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee.
Now why do we call this a dispensation of promise? Because God made a mighty promise to Abraham. Amen. That had to come to pass. And now look at Abraham, heard God say this, but keep going, Elder.
And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great.
God told Abraham, made thee of many nations. I'm going to bless thee and make thy name great. And I'm sure Abraham was so excited about what God said. In other words, Abraham was saying, I'm going to be what? The nation is going to be blessed through me. Amen. Wonderful. And we know religion today, Abraham's faith to faith. Abraham, the great man of faith. Well, let's analyze and see what this happened to this great man of faith. Let's go to chapter, verse 10, same chapter. Now we're reading 10 through 13, Elder.
And there was a famine in the land.
There was a famine in the land.
And Abram went down unto Egypt to sojourn there.
Uh-huh.
And the famine was grievous to the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter Egypt, that he said to Sarai.
Notice now, this great man of faith, he's beginning to move in fear. This great man of faith, what did Abraham say to his wife? Keep going, Elder.
Behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me.
They will kill me. God already told the rascal, I'm going to make you a famous nation. God already told the rascal, everybody's going to be blessed. Well, man, if God said that, he's going to keep you around for a time. But it wasn't but a few verses in the same chapter. He said, they're going to kill me.
I hear you.
How, you know what, we're laughing, but how often do we let things slip? And God tells us that he has saved us. He sanctified us. He adopted us. He gave us his spirit. He gave us his grace. He gave us his mercy. God has done all of these wonderful things. And then we let him slip. Somebody say that your boss say, well, here's your pink slip. And you get all messed up. God, wait a minute. You are a member in the body of Christ. What is greater? What is greater, justification or that peace meal?
I hear you.
Bring it out.
Oh, you don't know. The doctor said, I'm going to do a coronary bypass. What is greater, propitiation or the coronary bypass?
Man.
The doctor said, this bad news. What is greater, your position in Christ or that bad news?
I hear you.
And by the way, we perceive as bad news because we are captivated in a time capsule. God worketh all things for good to them that are called to love him.
I hear you.
So it's whatever's happened to you, understand that God has the will and purpose in every situation that goes down. So what did Abraham say? What did he say?
Pray thee.
Notice he's telling this to Sarah because God already gave him these wonderful promises. But what did he tell Sarah? Again, they ought to read that, please.
Thou art my sister, and it may be well with me for thy sake. and my soul shall live because of thee.
He said, my soul shall live. God already gave Abraham the promise. But now he said, in other words, let's use our language. He said, Sarah, lie to save me. That's what he said. Somebody said, wait a minute. How can a man, God say, Abraham, all the nations are going to be blessed. Abraham, in you and your seed, they're going to all be blessed. But you go in the same chapter, a few verses, Abraham said, come on, they're going to kill me, Sarah, if you lie. In other words, what? It gives testimony to Abraham what to praise. And when God, the Bible tells, all have sinned, Chase, and come short of the glory of God. All mean all, none have escaped. And if you understand that God has a purpose in everything, and please understand that there is therefore now no condemnation to them in Christ Jesus. Now, I ain't got time to go there. But I know if you have a King James, it'll say, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. The translators added that, church, if you get yourself a new Greek, a Greek interlinear, it'll read, for there is therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus, period.
Amen.
That's right.
Somebody say, what? Who walk after not the spirit? What about right? Yeah. We should strive to walk in the spirit, church. The goal of grace is to walk in the spirit. The goal of grace is to walk in the spirit.
Amen.
But does anybody know anybody that walks in the spirit 24/7?
I hear you.
And if that person ever raised their hand, pray for him because he just walked in the flesh. No. See, the problem with religion is that we're not honest.
I hear you.
And true understanding of depravity, the fact that we all sin, do you know when somebody mess up, you won't beat them over the head? Because you can say, Lord, if it wasn't but the grace of God,
amen,
the same thing could have happened to me. And one thing we need to understand, that God controls all things.
Amen.
He if God, either God controls all things or he doesn't control nothing.
Amen.
And understand that in the time capsule, hallelujah, when people mess up, we can say those that are spiritual should what, restore, should what, work, build up, and not beat over the head.
Right.
When somebody mess up, can you imagine religion beating a person over the head that's already down? The gospel of the grace of God always builds up in people to let them know if it wasn't for the grace of God.
Always.
But if you understand that depravity, and by the way, we need to understand, it doesn't take depravity. When you really understand depravity, I'm close on this. It doesn't take depravity long to manifest. Because we see what we just show us what the great men of God, right? But it doesn't take depravity long to manifest. Right,
yeah.
So Charlene, even the young age, right? Just the other day, my grandson over there, little Jamie, my daughter was, she was busy running, trying to see about him doing so many things. And she came in the bedroom, and he was looked up, and just, yay, yay! I mean, just let out. And then I said, wait a minute. He was so quiet, but the moment he saw Pammy, man, he just let out. So then, women, Pammy ran to him, and I said, wait a minute, slow up, Pammy. I said, first of all, what's wrong with him? She said, Dad, he's crying. I said, wait a minute. I said, is he dry? She said, yeah, I just changed him, Dad. Okay. I said, is he hungry?
Yeah.
She said, Dad, I just fed him. Oh, so wait a minute, he's dry? He's not hungry? And I said, touch him, does he have a fever? She said, oh, no. She said, so you mean he's not feeling, he's feeling great, he's dry, and he's not hungry. Honey, let that depraved creature cry. Let him cry. Because what happens is that, see, what he's saying is that I'm okay, but now, Mommy, I see you. I'm going to manipulate this situation. I want you to pick me up. If you don't pick me up, I'm going to cry.
I hear you.
Now, he did not have to go to a school to learn how to manipulate. It's just he's a depraved creature.
I hear you.
Right, though.
And by the way, we're not taking away, thank God. I think God has given mothers, especially, I wasn't good there. I was okay, but thank God. You know, the security, holding up a child, that's all part of God's plan. Wonderful. But hey, sometimes you just need to let those grasses cry, because I know we learned years ago, man, when they start crying and sweating, eventually they get tired and they go to sleep.
I hear you.
No.
Amen.
Depravity, we all depraved. But understand, in closing, God controls all things. He knows all things. He knows the past, the present, and the future. And understand, repeat, either God controls all things or he controls nothing.
Amen.
And some of you have been through experience where you thought you controlled something, and if that was the case, you were so insecure. But to know that God controls all things. And Paul, in one account, he says, no matter what comes your way, life, heartache, death, nothing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
No matter what comes your way, nothing out there. I don't care how bad it perceives. I don't care how rough it gets. I don't care. It does not matter that no matter what goes down, your eternal position in Christ is forever settled. Inflation can't touch it. $5 of gas can't touch it. Nothing out here can touch your position in Christ, because that is the position that God gave you before the foundation of the world. But to get this information, you have to abide in that volume of truth that God gave to the Apostle Paul, the book Romans through Hebrews, those epistles. Thank God the whole Bible is true, but when you focus on what those epistles that God gave to Paul, it'll liberate you. It's a liberating gospel. It'll liberate you from confusion. It'll liberate you from heartache. It'll liberate you from everything out here, because it explains our past, our present, and our future abode in Christ. That is why the only gospel that should be preached in this dispensation is the gospel of the grace of God. God bless you.
Yeah. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Jesus.